I'm going through the Gospel of John, and we're in John chapter 8, and I'm going to start with verse 12 through 30. Let's hear the inspired word of the living God. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, "Therefore, where is your Father?" Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself? Since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come.'" He said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. And may God add his blessing to the hearing of this portion of his word. Let's pray. Father, I pray now your Holy Spirit that inspired these words would apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're coming through the book of John, and we have said on previous occasions that John did not just give a travelogue. Everything is in here specially selected for a reason. And he selected seven I Ams. Now, it's just not an ordinary I am. In the original language, you can say I am with the word a me. But if you want to add emphasis, you add the word for I, ego, ahead of it. It's almost like it's redundant all over again. I am. But that's not by accident, because the places it is used in Scripture almost always refer to Christ. When Augustine in the 4th century was teaching on this passage, he connected it to the four living creatures in Ezekiel and Revelation. The four creatures were a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle, and he maps those out to the four gospel writers. Each one has a different emphasis. Matthew emphasizes Jesus' earthly lineage, that he is from man. He is every bit from man. And then you have the lion, and that is the gospel that represents his kingship, the Lion of Judah, his royalty. And then you have an ox, which is the sacrificial animal, and it represents the priesthood. And one of the gospel writers writes on that, emphasizing Jesus' priesthood with us. But there's one that stands head and shoulders above the rest, and that is the Gospel of John. It, in more clarity, lays out Jesus' divinity. He is God. He's the real God. He's not just a sub-form of God. He is God wearing a suit. And Jesus, today we are talking about the second I Am. The first one was, I am the bread of life. And he doesn't feed us bread of life. He is the bread of life. When we have him, we have everything we need for life. And now he says, I am the light of the world. He doesn't shine light. He is the light. And then a little bit later on, we will go on. The rest of the seven are the door of the sheep. He's the one we come through. He is the door the sheep come through. He says, I am the good shepherd. We come through him. He is the resurrection and the life. We get resurrection from him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We get truth from him. We get our way through him. And we get our very life through him. And I am the true vine. So we get our relationship, our sustenance through him. Nothing that God gives us, he gives piecemeal. He wraps it all up in one package, and he is Jesus. And we don't get different things apart from the other. If we get anything from God, we get it in Jesus. He is the one. He is the gospel. The gospel is not a series of propositions. The gospel is Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. He is God's expression to us. So he's the way that we connect. And all of the I Am's, he is. It's not he is showing us, but he is every one of those things. And we have them when we have him. So he is the bread of life. We have the bread of life when we have him. He is the light of the world. We have light when we have him. He doesn't feed us the bread. He is the bread. He doesn't point the light. He is the light. And when we say the I Am's, think back to Exodus 3, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And so what John is telling us explicitly is that Jesus is the I am. He is the one we've seen hints of before, but he is what everything points to in Scripture. Augustine, when he was preaching on this in the 4th century, connected it to Psalm 36, verse 9, which we, by the way, the last half of that is on our crest as a denomination. If you look in your pews, you will see pew cards that have the crest on it. And on the very bottom line, in his light shall we see light. His light is not an inanimate thing. His light is Jesus. That's what his light is. In Jesus, we have light. And then if you'll look just above that, there are two tablets. In the old, on one side is the burning bush in the old covenant. The light showed up as a burning bush. In the new covenant, the light is the Alpha and the Omega. It is Jesus. But he has been here. He has been from all eternity. And so in his light, for the first part of that verse, for with you is the fountain of life. Jesus is the fountain. He's the one we get life from. And he is the light of God. If it looks familiar, it's on the crest. What that tells me is that people 200 years ago in this denomination got it. If you look at that emblem, everything points. There's a red thing in the center of the altar where Christ is sacrificed. Everything about that points to Jesus. That is what we are all about. That if you know nothing else, you will get that. And Jesus, it is the I Ams throughout. You see, through this passage we read, there are more I Ams than just the one. I am the light of life. Verse 18, I am the one who bears. Verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, there's no he in the original. It is ego e me, I am, unless you believe that he is the I am. And then verse 28, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. He is the I am. So let's look at verse 12. Let's break that down, because there is a lot that we can take with us. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am, and that is ego eimi, the I am, the light of the world. The Greek word here is cosmos, which means everything we think of light is the cosmos, all the created order, but it says, I am the light of the cosmos. I am the light of everything else out there. We focus on the little bright shining dots. We moons and skies and solar systems. But he is the light. And then he says, whoever follows or comes after me, akoulotheo in Greek means to come after or follow along afterwards, will not walk in darkness, but in the original language it's a lot more emphatic. The original language ume means not ever. It means under no circumstance will we ever walk in darkness. If we follow along, if we are in Christ, we will not ever walk in darkness. That is assurance. That is, if you have Christ, you won't ever walk in darkness. You can do dumb things, but you're not walking in darkness. You know, and God is continually bringing you along, but you don't walk in darkness. He says, but will have. You have light right now. If you are with him, it's not something you have to wait for. It's not something in the by and by. It's not something you get when you leave this planet. You have it right now. If you have Christ, you have it. You have the light. You don't have to wait for it. And you won't ever walk in darkness. And the last one is the light of life. There's two words in Greek, which means life. The first one is bios. We get the word biology from. And that's living things, living creatures. But the other word is zoe. If you're female and your name is Zoe, you've got a really great name, because that means eternal life. That is the life only God can give, and it goes on forever. It lasts as beyond time. And he says that whoever follows after me will never ever walk in darkness, but will have, present tense, in this life, the light of eternal life. This is another assurance verse from the lips of Jesus. We have eternal life in this life when we have him. We don't get it apart from him, but we get it with him. And then you can tell by the questions that the Pharisees are asking him that they have no part in him. They start questioning him and they say, your testimony is not true. If the real thing is living in you, would you ever question whether his testimony is true? That's a sign that he and them, they had no commonality. He says, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one, yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. At night, I have these, I call them grandpa talks with my grandson. And he can ask me any question he wants to, and I try and give him a truthful answer. Well, he was asking about the Trinity. He says, how do you know what God looks like? And so I flipped it back on him, and I said, how do we know? I said, there's only one way you know what God looks like. And after struggling a little bit, he says, Jesus. And that is the only thing that we can have contact with and that really communicates anything about God to us. We have no idea what the Holy Spirit looks like. We've never seen him. We can see the effects, but we can't see him. We have no idea what God the Father looks like. No man has ever seen God the Father, but Jesus is his perfect expression. Everything we know about God, we know through Jesus. He is the one who communicates God's heart to us. He shows us things that God loves us. He fully expressed God's love for us. He expressed his tenderness. He expresses everything that we would never have any way of finding out about. If God did not put on a human body and walk around among us, we would have no idea what he looks like. And what Jesus is saying is here, he says, I and the Father are one. If you knew me, you know the Father. You know that the Father is with me. And we don't have two agendas, we have one, because we are one. And he goes on to say, you neither know me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He is how we know the Father. And then he said again, I'm going away and you will seek me. Now, why would you ever seek something if you already have it? So he is telling them once again, there are only two relationships you can have to Christ. You can have him or you cannot have him. You can't halfway have him. You can't have a piece of him. You can't have some of the things of Christ and some of the things of the world. You either have him or you don't have him. And he says, if you don't have him, where I'm going, you cannot come. If you don't have him, you can't be where he is, where he's going. So the Jew says, will he kill himself? Where am I going? You cannot come. He said to them, you are from below, and I am from below, above. The only way we can have a connection to the above is when we have him living in us. That's the only way of doing it. And then in verse 34, he says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, Jesus is the I am, unless you trust the I am, unless you trust him, ego me, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Now that's a good question. Who are you? That means they don't even know who he is. How could he possibly be a part of their lives? Jesus said, just as I've been telling you from the beginning, I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true. And verse 28, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. That is when that's when it will click for those that have been not sure. He is the one. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And the last verse is, as he was saying these things, many believed him. We either have him or we don't have him. Oswald Chambers said the following, the characteristic of a disciple is not that he does good things, but that he is good in motive because he has been made good by the supernatural grace of God. The only thing that exceeds right doing is right being. Jesus Christ came to put into man who would let him a new heredity which would exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus says, if you are my disciples, you must be right not only in your living, but in your motives, in your dreams, in your recesses of your mind. You must be so pure in your motives that God Almighty can see nothing to censor. Who can stand in the eternal light of God and have nothing for God to censure? Only the Son of God. And Jesus Christ claims that by his redemption, he can put into any man his own disposition. It's a gift. It's not a flashlight. It's a headlight. He comes to change our hearts, our heads, everything about us. And he does it by an act of his own grace. May we pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we couldn't even begin to please you. But where we are, you bent down low and you gave us everything we need. And it all comes in one person, in Jesus. If we have you, we have life. And if we don't have you, we don't have life. In Jesus' name, amen.